Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. I'm in studio with Walker Weilman, Assistant to the President. Walker, let our viewers know once again, our listeners, that they can also be viewers.
That's right. If you go to Facebook and type in the Today's Issues and visit our show page there, each Monday through Friday from 10 to 11:30 Central, you can watch the show and also share your thoughts below the show and comment. Also, all the news stories that we talked about last segment, we had a very interesting segment last hour, and you can go to our Today's Issues Facebook page and find those stories. And in addition to that, we're also on YouTube. Don't forget, you can also download the mobile app, the American Family Radio mobile app, for your device, for your smartphone or your tablet, and you can listen anywhere, anytime, as long as you have an internet connection.
Yeah. All right. Good. Thank you. All right. We want to welcome our usual co-host, our news person, on this third and final segment here on Today's Issue, Steve Jordahl, our reporter, news anchor for American Family News, and just all around nice guy, except when he's, you know, making fun of me. But I get that a lot.
It's so a target-rich environment. I just, you know.
Wow.
Low-hanging
I just fruit. Gave you a compliment.
Thank you, Ed.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
And wow. Good morning and good afternoon to everybody, as it applies.
Yeah. All right, what do we got?
A sad day in Missouri. Clinton, Missouri, has suffered its second officer shot, officer down and killed in about 5 months. This officer, his name was Ryan Morton. He was 30. He was shot and killed when he and a couple other officers responded to a 911 call at a home located in the town, which is about 75 miles southeast of Kansas City. And the two other officers were wounded, but will be fine. But he was lost. It's the second officer that Clinton, Missouri, has lost in 5 months. The other officer was a guy named Gary Michael, just happens to be the brother-in-law of a very, very close friend of mine. And Ryan Morton he's been with the Clinton Police Department for 4 years, but a while back he went on reserves. And when Gary Michael was shot and killed, he came in and basically went back to full time to replace him.
Wow.
And now he's been lost. So it's a sad day.
And this was in response to a domestic...
I have a call in. It's worded a little oddly. They were responding to a 911 call, and it was said to be a domestic dispute, and they heard screams and voices in the background on the tape, but it didn't take but a number of seconds before they showed up for a guy to start shooting out the window. So I've got a call into the police officers there, to the people doing the investigation.
I
to
know
see.
Some of these in recent months have been, a couple at least, have been where it's a fake 911 call. It's an ambush.
Ambush
is
right.
What it is. And who knows if this is what that is or not. But I guess we'll find out.
Tomorrow, if I know, I'll bring an update on that. But, yeah, this is the 18th officer fallen lost in the line of duty this year, and we're just at the beginning of March.
You know, this is why, and I think we've all, you know, made the caveat that there are some bad officers out there, you know, who, you know, abuse their position, who are racist, and all those kind of things. But the vast majority of police officers are not that. And every time, I think about this sometimes when I see a police having pulled over someone for speeding or whatever on a roadway, highway, what have you. You think about it. Every time they walk up to a car, every time they go to a door, every time they respond to a call, they could die. Mm-hmm. And as our society, you know, continues to unravel a little, it's a little bit. I mean, we still have a solid society, but there seems to be a growing, you know, fraction that's, you know, that seems to be, you know, losing control of themselves. And I'm not talking about even inner cities. I'm just saying, you know, all kinds of bizarre crimes and stuff. And But these police officers, are they the thin blue line? Every single time they could die.
I couldn't imagine. I think, folks, of the most beloved person in your life, a daughter, a husband, a wife, a parent, and to know that every day you go into work, you have a far greater chance than the average person of not ever seeing that person again.
Right.
It's and so that's why if I have a second I'm like behind an officer in line, I will generally tap him on the shoulder and just say thanks for your service.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's incredible.
And other first responders are like in the fire department and stuff, but the police,
I mean,
they face the more unpredictable. I don't know how unpredictable fires are. It may be terribly unpredictable, but in terms of danger, that's why I personally get upset. You know, when Colin Kaepernick, remember he wore
right.
the socks with you
right.
know, cops are pigs, that kind of thing. It's a terrible thing. You should find a different way to try to change society and make it as just as possible.
Right.
As I'm talking about justice, mm-hmm. biblical justice, but you should not, you know, treat all police officers as if they're despicable human beings, because they are keeping us safe from the bad guys.
You guys talked, I think, last hour about the Austin mayor. Did you guys hit that? The Austin mayor that decided not to get the body armor for her officers because she would have to sign a promise that she would cooperate with ICE. It's just unconscionable, the politics that go into that. I know you guys were talking about the Attorney General suing California.
Right.
Jeff Sessions had a press, had made a speech just a little while ago, just about 10 minutes ago. He said the following with regard to this lawsuit.
I understand that we have a wide variety of political opinions out there on immigration, but the law is in the books, and its purposes are clear and just. There is no nullification. There is no secession. Federal law is the supreme law of the land. I would invite any doubters to go to Gettysburg or to the tombstones of John C. Calhoun and Abraham Lincoln. This matter has been settled. For example, the mayor of Oakland has been actively seeking to help illegal aliens avoid apprehension by ICE. Her actions support those who flout the law and boldly validates illegality. There's no other way to interpret those remarks. So here's my message to Mayor Schaaf. How dare you? How dare you needlessly endanger the lives of our law enforcement officers to promote a radical open borders agenda?
Wow, that's pretty strong. I mean, nullification is a quasi legal term, or maybe it's a legal term where you have a city or a state just basically saying we're not following federal law. And when he brought up the Civil War and said this issue is settled, boy, that's strong.
Yeah, no, Sessions, he's been taking some heat from President Trump for a while, and even this morning, I think, or yesterday, President tweeted out something, but he has been doing a really strong job where he's allowed himself to act.
You know, I'm hoping that this is kind of a side topic, but still relates to the Attorney General. The Inspector General report is due out any day now.
Right.
Which will kind of highlight some of the wrongdoings or potential wrongdoings by the Justice Department over the past few years. And many of those people that might be implicated in this report may have already retired or resigned or been fired. But I'm hoping that Attorney General Jeff Sessions uses the Inspector General report to carry out whatever proper, you know, punishments it calls for people who did things wrong. That's the beef that President Trump has with Jeff Sessions. Attorney General Jeff Sessions, is that he's not doing enough to kind of clean up the deep state at the DOJ. So I'm hoping that Attorney General Sessions will take advantage of that, because, as you said, he's doing great things, and I think President Trump needs to note and thank Jeff Sessions for the things that he is doing right in the president's eyes.
To your point, Congressmen Trey Gowdy and Bob Goodlatte of South Carolina and Virginia, respectively, have called on Mr. Sessions, to appoint a new special counsel for the specific abuses that have been uncovered with FISA. This is, Inspector General is doing his part and trying to get to the bottom of this, and we are expecting that report. However, as Trey Gowdy noted, a lot of the people who are suspected and the evidence is pointing to as to being complicit in this undermining of justice with regard to the FISA court don't work at the Department of Justice. They're not FBI. They may be members of part of congressional staffs. They could be a whole other branch of government that won't fall under the Inspector General. And so a special counsel will be able to subpoena those people and get to the bottom of this. So I don't know whether he will or not, but Trey Gowdy and Bob Goodlatte are respected voices on the Hill. They're not ones that tend to go off with wild conspiracy theories.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this would be a welcomed thing. And I guess some of it depends on what the Inspector General's report says. I mean, is that you? And you may not know, but the Inspector General's report is that sufficient evidence that
yes.
It might be that the Department of Justice could then begin,
it's the purpose of an Inspector General
trying to find something to charge someone before a grand jury.
I went by Abe's office, Abe Hamilton III, who was on with us last segment, and I asked last week, and I asked him. I said, the Inspector General's report, can that be used in the court of law as official evidence? And he said, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. It carries the same weight as, for example, an FBI investigation report or any other official law enforcement investigation. So the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, and his department can cite the Inspector General report if they were to press charges against certain individuals or just simple disciplinary action within the DOJ.
The role of an Inspector General, and every government branch or agency has one, and the role of the Inspector General is to make sure that that agency, in this case the Department of Justice, adheres to the law, that they are, it's basically the police cop, the traffic cop within the department looks for anything from financial irregularities to, in this case, we're suspected of maybe not bringing true evidence towards a court.
Yeah, from what I understand, the Inspector General doesn't have prosecutorial power, but they're simply information and investigative agency within the DOJ, and they report their findings to both Congress and leadership and the executive branch.
Is it the kind of thing? And again, I'm just asking because these are questions that are just popping in my head now. Can you lie to the Inspector General? I mean, is that like lying to the FBI? Do you know?
I'm not sure. Not sure if it's punishable if you lie. I would assume it would be because his job is to investigate, and I believe the information that he asks people is under, most of it's probably under oath.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm sure it would carry the same weight.
Okay.
He's duly appointed and empowered to investigate, so his conclusions have some weight.
So we'll see what they say there.
All right, Steve. You done with that story?
Yeah. That's,
okay. Okay. What else you got?
Let's talk about what's going to be happening here in Mississippi. I know that it's a local story, but there's some interesting things going on with regard to the special election that's going to be coming up, and because it does kind of hold a bearing on what's going to happen in the Senate. So as we've told people, Senator Thad Cochran is retiring because of health concerns. So the governor is going to appoint somebody to replace him. And then that person, whoever it is, or we're assuming that person will want to run for the seat. And the election will be on November 6th with the rest of the midterms. Whoever wins that, if they get more than 50%, will replace the senator and will fill out the remainder of his term. But this is the interesting part. During this special election, it's going to be a nonpartisan election, the one to fill the remainder of Thad Cochran's seat. When the voters go to the ballot box, they will not see an R or a D or any other letter beside the name of the candidates. They will just simply see a list of candidates. I'm trying to figure out why it has to be that way. since Thad Cochran is a Republican, Phil Bryant, the governor, is a Republican, and I don't know that anybody would expect the person that he appoints not to govern by his political compass.
Right.
So, but somehow that is the way they're going to do it, and some people are saying that that is going to allow it. It gives the Democrats a better chance of having an upset in this state
because a lot of people vote straight ticket, or they look for the R or the D or the I for independent, and that's how they cast their vote. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to vote for all Democrats, so I look for the D. And if you don't have that, then a lot of people don't know. What do you go to next? What's your go-to?
I think it's name recognition.
Name recognition, or then some people just pick the name at the top of the list.
Yeah. Good.
So that's why they're saying.
Or they skip it. And with name recognition, it's an odd thing because, and this is why, this is one of the things that you learn when you study advertising, I am told. I'm not an expert in that. But what they say is even a commercial that annoys you every time you watch it, if it provokes a strong reaction, that's what they're after because you watch the football game in the middle, you get that crazy whatever commercial for detergent that just drives you crazy. But the next time you're in the store, you don't remember why. You just know that you have strong emotion with that name. It's on the shelf,
right,
and you might pick it. Same thing with this. The person, whoever it is, might be totally opposite your belief system, but when you get into the ballot box, unless you have really planned beforehand and you know who you're going to vote for, it's name recognition. And
to me, I think the reason, and I'm just spitballing here, that there might be a Democrat, Republican, everybody on the same ballot is that there's not time for a primary for that seat.
Right.
So if there's not a primary where the Democratic voters pick their candidate, Republicans pick their candidate, they're just going to have to put them all together on one ballot and do it that way.
Right.
Well, and I would think, and again, like you, I'm just spitballing because just hearing this on this story. But, you know, at least if you're going to do that, you put them all on one list, put their party affiliation.
Right.
You know, so people can go, all right, it's all one list. It's like an open primary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just vote for whoever. But I'd like to know what party they are.
Yeah,
I don't know why they would not tell you their party affiliation. I don't know. Well, I guess maybe we'll find out as this thing unspools a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Can I bring you something from? This would be from the Snowflake Files.
Hey, 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 Snowflake.
Snowflake.
Sorry, I was delaying there because I didn't give Brent a heads up. I know he's brilliant at what he does, but I didn't.
Sure, you pick on me, you don't pick on Brent.
Well, it's obvious.
He's not a target-rich environment.
No,
I guess,
he's not. He helps me.
Yes.
He can make me sound really bad. Stanford University, this is in California. The college Republicans want to have a new logo printed on their T-shirts, but the college says that the logo does not pass muster with them because it includes the American flag.
What? Where is this?
Stanford. Stanford. The Cardinal.
And generally smart people at Stanford.
I think, generally. Stanford University College Republicans are seeking to print their new logo on a T-shirt, and they've been told their design does not pass muster with the private institution's trademark office because the image incorporates the American flag. Stanford, and this is a quote, does not approve the use of the American or other flags on products that also feature their trademark, including the Stanford name and the block S. It states the group, we can approve red, white, blue themed products, but cannot approve the design, which features altered versions of the flag in its background of the design. And this is it's an oval with the flag imprinted on it, so it's not a square flag. And I don't think it's because of the shape of the flag, but
so that's Stanford.
Stanford University.
So is this some kind of technicality where you can't use flags in association? Because Stanford's name and whatever logo would be trademark protected.
Right.
They are saying, I mean, in other words, would they say you can't use, you know, the Los Angeles Rams logo with Stanford because, you know, that's violating, because the American flag's not trademarked.
No, it is not.
Anyone can use it. That's weird.
Yeah. So
this is from, I'm reading from Independent Journal Review, and they say this is the licensing associate with the group's president. Stanford does not approve the use of the American or other flag on products also featuring our trademarks, including the Stanford name. So I'm not sure if that clarifies, but this is very interesting.
Yeah. So the people have been trying to get a hold of them. They're not really returning their phone calls, and they're referring people to a trademark guide on the university's website. So, yeah, just when you thought that you're free to go, yeah, no, not so much.
All right, so Stanford. Okay, you got anything else you can shoehorn in here as we come up at the end of the program?
Just to mention here, this is Rowan Williams. We talked about this a little bit in our meeting in England. Yes. He is the former head of the Anglican Church there, which
Archbishop
also
of Canterbury.
Oversees the Episcopal churches in this country. And he is joining a group of agnostics and atheists who are opposing the lifting of a cap. There's a cap that's placed on religious schools in England. And this law says that the school can't have more than 50% of its members that adhere adhere to its own faith.
Which so means, an example would be a Catholic school can only, it's capped. You can only have 50% of the student body at a private school
that are Catholic.
And
I don't know what happens when someone converts if that puts you over the limit.
You have to leave school.
Kick them out.
Insanity.
According to this newspaper, the cap effectively prevents the Catholic Church from opening new schools because once they reach the 50% limit, they'd have to turn away students because of their Catholic faith. I'm sorry, you're Catholic. We're full.
Yeah. Half the
Or you got to bring an unbeliever with you.
Yeah, to balance out.
And so there's a bunch of schools that are waiting to open, but they can't get around this rule. And what strikes me is the fact that Rowan Williams, who was the one who appointed Gene Robinson, you remember,
right?
Back in the
New
day.
New Hampshire bishop.
The bishop.
Openly homosexual.
The gay bishop. And really, even though the Episcopal Church, the Anglican Church, was sliding this way for a long time, he was kind of the exclamation point at the end of the sentence.
Yeah.
That says we are now open for, well, anything.
Well, you know, and let me just say this. Let me just expand. Use this as an example to talk to some of our listeners who think Christians should not be involved in culture and politics.
Hmm.
This is a perfect example. Now, I don't know how easy it is to change these kind of laws over in the UK and England and so forth. But this is the kind of thing that actually does affect the gospel,
mm-hmm.
and does affect your faith. If you can't start a Christian school of whatever denomination and have it filled with Christians that you want to disciple,
right.
Yeah, politics does affect the gospel. And by the way, this is Rowan Williams, not Rowan Atkinson, that appeared in all those Mr. Bean movies. Although at this point, I'd pick.
He might have been a better.
I'd pick Mr. Bean over Rowan Williamson.
He might have been a better archbishop.
Yes. Or at least not made much of a difference one way or the other. So, anyway, folks, we sure appreciate you listening to today's issues. More great programming is directly ahead. And Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow for another edition of today's issues.